Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everybody, LaTanya Starks here. Just wanted to mention that there is a content warning for this podcast because we do talk about suicide and there is discussion of gruesome imagery as well. So if you are not okay with that, that's totally fine. Please feel free to turn off the podcast and join us again next week. This has just been your friendly content warning from Post Show Recaps. Thank you. Love and Death, episode 6. The big top is over, but we are just getting started. I am LaTanya Starks here with the birthday girl, Sarah Carradine. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Happy birthday to me. Gruesome images to me. Episode 6, nearly there.
Yeah, seriously.
I was on for the ride for 5 episodes, but I have jumped off a cliff with episode 6. Uh-huh. I'm really looking forward to talking about it with you, because what went wrong?
What didn't? We're recapping.
We've only sworn once in this series. There may be a few swears today.
Yeah. Look out for swears, people. They're everywhere. and some of them are quotes from the show, so we have no choice. We've been given no choice. We're recapping Love and Death with full spoilers. So you can watch the series on HBO in the US and binge in Australia. I kind of wish I lived in Australia for so many different reasons.
We wish you did too.
Subscribe to the feed so that you don't miss a minute of our coverage. Postshowrecaps.com/HBO. That is postshowrecaps.com/HBO. And if you have a moment to rate and review, it makes a huge difference. 5-star reviews only, please. We literally cannot see any other reviews that are not 5 stars.
Our innocent eyes are shielded from anything less.
Sweet, sweet summer children. Okay, so episode 6, The Big Top.
Why? Like, before we even start, why? I mean, I know it's a reference to circus.
Yeah.
But it's, where's the circus? I can see where the clowns are.
Maybe it's just about clownery. Mm-hmm. It's just about how many clowns they can fit into that clown car. Mm-hmm. I get that there it's supposed to be the circus of the press, but the press just seems to be doing what the press does.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
It's not egregious. It was more, I mean, I one of the scenes that we praised, I particularly liked, and it comes to mind, is when Candy goes to surrender and there's the awful moment where the sally port is opened for the car.
Right.
And the police leave it open so that all the press can crowd in. And that was such a sort of predatory scene. Just thinking about it, how it was shot, how it was set up, was fantastic. So why you would make a note of the press in this episode where they're really very mild. We have a few to camera, you know, TV reporters, but mm-hmm. nothing where it's impacting on Candy, you know, other than telling Sherry not to let the children listen to the news. But
right,
you know,
you have to name the episode something, I guess. Mm-hmm. And this is what they chose.
Yes.
You can tell from our discussions of the episode title alone that we were not plussed. We're not too thrilled about yes. this particular episode of television, because, and we'll get into it, but this is where all the courtroom stuff happens. And typically a David E. Kelly show with a courtroom
come on
is fantastic. We get fireworks, we get you know, admissions of guilt, which we do get early in the episode. We'll get to it. But like, this is not what I expected from a David E. Kelly series that has courtroom drama.
Such a good point. And something we've been looking forward to. And I mean, folks, we want to be positive about the stuff that we watch. And we've been, you know, we have been positive about this series so far, but we would be remiss in our journalistic duties not to warn you about this episode. But one of the things that we've been looking forward to, particularly Natanya, as we've both seen Candy, is with the two, it's this series is two episodes longer. Mm-hmm. So we were looking forward to the courtroom stuff, which is really a very minimally dealt with in the series Candy from last year.
Right.
So I think there's a few things going on. It's not a good episode. And we were looking forward to getting to court and yes. both feel let down, personally let down by David.
Yes. So thank you, David. The episode opens in October of 1980 with the song The Love I Lost, and we see Candy, news on in the background, is frantically making scrambled eggs and then starts singing along to the song, because in case you didn't think this woman could get any more sinister, here she is. Her best friend Sherry arrives and she and Candy sit down for a cigarette and some talk about the trial. It's the first day and everyone is anxious, but Candy seems a little eerily calm, don't you think?
Well, we should have known about the mother's little helpers, I think. But we've learned that she has a very passive, put together, well, not passive because she's an active person, but she has an unreadable face, which I think has been one of the strengths of this performance.
That's true.
Where the camera just lingers on this face and we scan it and we look for what's behind there. And maybe this series is saying there's nothing behind there, which would be very interesting.
That would be, yeah, if that's what they were doing.
If that's what they're doing. I suspect from this episode that they're not.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not doing anything else, so maybe that is what they're doing. I'm sorry.
Don't hold back.
I can't with this show anymore. I just don't understand why it exists at this point. Because this is the part, and I know that they're setting us up for Candy's testimony. And when you are dealing with court transcripts and like making a series, you can only do so much. You know what I mean? But there are really interesting ways that this could have been approached. We could have spent a day with one of the key jurors to see what they think. Because as we know, because this is not the first time this story has been told, this woman gets acquitted by the jury.
Spoiler!
I said full spoilers.
We did. You did say full spoilers. I mean, they hired that number of actors. Let's see them. Let's see them react to that. I mean, we're going to get to it, but let's see if not their reactions. I don't want heaps of gratuitous reaction shots, but let us you know, you could linger on this jury. Let me see them. Let me count the number of women. Let me count the number of men.
Right.
Let me bask in the whiteness of them all. I mean, let me make some decisions. Let me meet, in inverted commas, them.
Yeah.
You have a courtroom. You have a horrendous crime that we've sort of seen with blood splattering up walls and people having thoughts about it. And we are about to see absolutely gratuitously a gruesome photographs of this jury. Those 12 men and women acquitted her.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? All right. It's a true story. So you don't have the information. You can imply it. It's a dramatization. Surely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Pat appears from the bedroom and is clearly shaken. And he learns that he can't go with Candy because only the lawyers and participants of the trial can be let into this particular part of the trial. On the ride, Candy talks about Texas prisons. And it's important to note how she looks now.
Yes, very good job. Again, we have consistently praised and will continue to. The art direction, the costuming, the makeup, the hair, all the browns and beiges, glory of the 70s. Right. I know it's 1980, but it was still the 70s, especially in Texas. And this is the work of Dawn. We had Dawn ask her to do her hair conservatively, do her clothes conservatively. She has the pussy bow. She has the David Koresh serial killer glasses on.
The unnecessary glasses.
The unnecessary glasses. Sorry, so I started to say sunglasses, folks. It's reading, you know, seeing glasses. Yeah. And she looks not unattractive by any means, but right. She looks blander than mm-hmm. we've seen her. She definitely looks older and very, very demure.
Yes. And that was what Don was going for.
Yeah.
So he achieved that with that little makeover.
That cardigan was an absolute crime.
Yeah, some of the things that they put her into are hilarious. Just terrible.
I mean, the actress must have laughed when she saw the costume.
She had to. Yeah. So she shuffles into the courthouse, the outside of which is just packed with journalists.
Yes. Were they talking about Texas prisons? Apparently there's two for women.
Yes.
There's a bad one and a good one.
Uh-huh.
And Robert, who's driving her, says, oh, don't worry, you'll go to the good one.
You'll go to the good one.
Oh, so much in that. So much in that. You see, this bloody show, because it gets me back when it does something small like that that's mm-hmm. incredibly resonant and incredibly weighted and freighted, and it's just one sentence and we move on and it's not explained, but you feel that. You feel it.
Bloody show. I wish there were more moments like that in this show, because this really is a show that is ripe for moments like that. Like, you know, think of the errant privilege that this woman has to commit murder and then just be allowed to go home and, like, make popovers and take Xanax. Like, that's just not how the criminal justice system looks for anyone else who, you know, anyone who looks like me, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Then as now.
Yeah. So. They're in with the jury, and the prosecutor is explaining the instructions to the jury. Then Don,
it's like I've been on a jury, but I think I didn't understand why that scene was there. It's like, yes, we all know about, especially as they weren't going to focus on the jury,
right?
Why did we have to have the prosecutor explain to the jury what the duties of the jury were? And there may be some, look, I may eat my words next episode, but I doubt it.
I think that the reason this scene exists is so that Don can stand up and drop the bombshell in the court that Candy did kill Betty,
but I agree.
It was in self-defense.
Yes. First time any of us have heard it.
Right. So then he gives an interview to the press and tells the pastor that he needs to be giving interviews in defense of Betty as well. Or sorry, in defense of Candy. The amount of times that I mistakenly typed Betty when I meant to type Candy, too many. Way too many. Alan speaks to Betty's father on the phone, and we learn that he's going to be coming down for the trial.
It's too much for the mother, which I'm disappointed in because I love that actress.
She's great.
We're not going to see her again unless we see her next episode.
Yeah. And next is an awkward dinner scene with Candy and her family where Candy brings up Halloween.
Oh, this was brilliant.
her daughter draws
me back in.
Her daughter says that one of her friends wants to go as Candy, but her mom won't let her.
And the evil smile on that child's face. She knows exactly what she's saying.
Yeah, so this awkward dinner is interrupted by Candy's old pastor knocking at the door.
Pastor Jackie, we love to see her.
We do. Elizabeth Marvel is really like having a time right now. She's on this show and she's also doing it up on Mrs. Davis. So she's mothering is what she's doing.
She is absolutely mothering. And why Candy was happy to see her with the face that Jackie had on her, like I can read it through a television screen.
Yeah.
You're gonna ask her if she'll support you. I mean, this is the wrath of God, right?
It is. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And she fully dresses Candy down for lying to her and now saying that the act was done in self-defense because before, you know, she came out and it was like, we are backdoor best friends. Tell me the truth. Did you do this? And Candy lied to her face.
Yes. It's that it's almost like the egregious, the self-defense. Jackie, of all people, knows it's not true.
Exactly. So back at the courthouse, it is totally packed inside. And the first order of business for the judge is to hold Don in contempt for violating the order of no talking to the press. And Don isn't really doing his side any favors by continuing to cross this judge over and over again. But this just shows that he's never tried a criminal case before.
Yes.
Because, like, the judge needs to like you.
Yes. Yes. Robert with the porn stash is not happy.
No.
And Don later says something like, oh, well, if, you know, on appeal, we can say that he was biased against us, but that's not how it works, Don.
Right.
Not how it works. I do not like you. You are a repellent human being. Mind you, he gets her off, so.
I know. You know. If you're trying this case and you're looking forward to appeal before you've even started your side of the case, then maybe there's a problem.
Sing it, sister.
But he loves the limelight. He really does.
I mean, he has a point. He says that he totally disingenuously, he says that he thought the gag order for the press was lifted because the judge had photo opportunities with the press in his chambers.
Right.
This is poking the lion. Don't do this. And don't call him an FF, which is two bad words.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
This might get me in some trouble. Do you think this actor was miscast?
Yes.
Okay.
I was, again, like the entire series, I was with this. I was trusting David with the casting of this actor. I haven't thought he was. Oh, I was going to say I haven't thought he was right from the start. Now, that's not true. Because in the first episode, when we see him as one of the church men, best voice in the choir, Pat, he was right. Suburban dad, suburban 70s dad looking 20 years older than he actually is because that was the fashion of the times. But once he steps forward to be Candy's lawyer, I thought, oh, there's something odd here, but maybe that's good. Maybe I'm being led in a good direction with the oddness of him. But it was in this episode that I thought, no, you're just not very good. Sorry.
Yeah. It's not. So Tom Pelfrey, his most standout performance was in Ozark, where he played Laura Linney's brother. Mm. And I thought that he did an excellent job in that
show.
He's
a good actor. Like, saying that someone is miscast, which is often laid at the foot of the actor, that is the director's fault for casting them. Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Or the showrunner. I think that there's a natural performance in him that is being thwarted by the series, I think. And presumably this stuff is on record that he said all these things. It's very, it's like he's not there. It's like he's not in the same show as everybody else.
Yes, that's somehow what it is. It's like he's up. He's a 10 out of 10, right? Mm. And like everything else about this show is so subdued and relaxed. Mm. And so, yeah, it is like he's in a different show than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay, I'm glad that wasn't just me.
No, I've been sitting on that as well.
Okay. So the prosecution calls Alan Gore.
Oh, here's the still center of the episode. This, anytime you put the camera on Jesse Plemons,
you're just like, okay, I can melt into this now.
Yes, exactly.
And he goes over the day and how his phone calls led to his neighbors going over to find Betty dead. Alan talks about having called Candy to tell her the news, and that when he told her of the death, Candy reacted with shock. Alan also admits that he and Candy had an affair, and it's on cross-examination where Alan's testimony really damages the prosecution's case, because he admits that Betty was unsettled and agitated and likely depressed when he left for his business trip, partly because she thought she might be pregnant. And then the defense says that Alan was so worried about Betty that he called so many times to check on her well-being, and that he thought the thought had entered his mind that perhaps she died from taking her own life because of all this, which is not great for the prosecution. Like, if it's effectively cross-examination turns him into a defense witness.
Yes. So beautifully acted here, so beautifully performed, where he so much wants to tell the truth that he didn't think about not telling the whole truth.
Exactly.
You know, and this is the character that we've seen him build up brick by brick over this whole period of time. I mean, this is an absolute masterclass, this performance by Jesse Plemons. Yes, I love him. Okay, I just do. I was predisposed to, and I wondered when we first saw him, but I wonder no more. And this quite extended period of time that we have Alan on the stand,
mm-hmm,
it's really well written.
Mm.
The camera's quite still. We just look at him. I mean, he's not deer in a headlight exactly. He's thoughtful, but he's trapped. There's a wonderful, if you've ever seen Evil Angels, which is about the Lindy Chamberlain dingo case. A dingo took my baby. A dingo did take the baby, by the way, everybody. Yes, but there's a wonderful scene of Michael Chamberlain, her husband, a wonderful performance of him being examined, and he, in the same way, is trying to tell the truth, and there's a wonderful moment where the prosecutor says, "When did you not do something?" And he's so trying to tell the truth. He said, "I never didn't do it." And I feel like there's an echo here with Alan. He wants to tell the truth. He's also under the eye of her father.
Right.
And he's under the eye of God. We've got to understand, you mm-hmm. know, where they are and what their thoughts are. He's under the eye of Candy.
Yeah.
This is not a man used to the spotlight, unlike Don. You know, so it's theoretically a very nice pairing of Don and Alan here. And this thoughtfulness and this honesty and this creeping desperation, completely subdued, is just so wonderful. And he just plays right into the defense's hands.
Yeah, he totally does.
So good.
The series of yes or no questions from Don to Alan that essentially end with Alan saying there was no reason for him to believe that he thought that Candy would ever kill Betty.
Yeah.
And I think that this cross-examination was well done. I think it was very accurately done as well.
I would say it's from the transcripts. I think a lot of
it's probably from the transcripts, but like just from a procedural like level. I think that this is like accurate courting. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Did you like that? Did you like this scene?
Yeah.
You turned by this point. I turned as well, but I turned back. Oh, Jesse. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, there is something about Jesse Plemons that whenever he's in a scene, I'm like, oh, okay, let me, like, sit up and pay more attention to this. Yeah.
But you think that's, like, unearned by David. All he did was cast him, right?
It's a good decision to cast Jesse Plemons, you know? Yes. Like, he's kind of a legend at this point. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen Game Night, do yourself a favor. If you want a Jesse Plemons performance that you'll never forget, see the movie Game Night. It is fantastic. It's from the same people that made the most recent Dungeons and Dragons movie. And it's wonderful. And he's wonderful in it. And that performance, like, I already knew he was, like, a great actor, but that performance made me, like, fall in love with him completely.
Mm-hmm.
So later at the Gore home, Betty's father tells him that he was essentially a witness for the defense. And when he asks why Alan doesn't seem too upset about what happened, Alan replies it's because he and Betty weren't doing so well. So there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of, like, tension there, just in terms of how do you feel after a person who may have been a burden to you in your life is taken away from you, but at the same time you love that person, and you know you have two kids that are now without their mother.
No, I thought not that for long.
Was yeah
spoiler yeah. Not for long.
Seriously.
Mm. Hey, mother. Mm.
I thought that was interesting.
And just the thought of what the atmosphere of that house would be with those two men in it.
I know.
Oof. My gosh. Walls were closing in.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. And when we come back, we will have more about this episode of Love and Death.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. So, Sherry is busy doing the work of a best friend and snapping at people and cautioning them to stop this nonsense. When they're gossiping about Candy at a local restaurant.
Look, any sighting of Sherry is a pleasure for me, but get rid of this scene. Don't need it.
Yeah, because she just then goes and sits at a table by herself.
Yeah,
and that's it.
So what? We know people We are people.
Mm-hmm.
You and I and the rest of us.
Sometimes.
Watching. Sometimes. I was wanting there to be something else that she was feeling the fallout of maintaining a friendship with Candy, but it no. Anyway.
Yeah, that's what we got. It.
Yeah, that's what we got.
At yet another Montgomery dinner.
Stop cooking, Candy.
She can't. That's the thing that strikes me the most about this. This woman is on trial for murder, and yet she's still expected to make all of the meals for her family.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's allowed to go home. What more does she want?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and the church ladies are delivering casseroles to Ellen.
Exactly.
I don't think they're delivering casseroles to the Montgomery house.
I don't think so. Candy is super excited about a batch of popovers that she made, and this is the most enthusiastic that she seemed about anything in a very long time.
Well, I mean, I'd be enthusiastic. They did look very nice.
They did.
And I was with the son. Can we eat them before Grace? She said, no, but we'll have a very fast Grace.
Let's get Grace out of the way, she says. It's like... You've already like done the sin that like
yeah.
the Grace was supposed to forgive. Kat continues to ask why he can't be in the courtroom, and Candy snaps back at him and says it's because you're a potential witness, and so therefore you cannot be in the courtroom. And Don
witness
says,
"Witness to what?
I don't know.
Witness to what? That she answered the phone in the middle of the night?
I mean, a witness to her state mind when she got home, I guess.
Yes, and the period immediately afterwards. I suppose so. But also, the Montgomerys have had a rule, no trial talk at dinner.
Yeah, that's true. That is a Montgomery rule. Then, back in court, we get a montage of the neighbor's testimony, and Candy is barely reacting. To any of this.
This could have been, these are the men who found the body.
Yeah.
I don't know why we had to have it intercut in that way.
Why do we need montages?
A good montage is a great montage, but most montages are not good montages.
No.
And this was lazy storytelling. There, I said it.
You heard it here first, people.
It wasn't very interesting, so you thought, I know what we'll do. We'll intercut montage it.
Uh-huh.
Boo.
Always works so well, except in this case when it doesn't.
Yes.
So heading to Don's car, this makes total sense to me. Don and Candy decide to have a huge argument with all of the press and onlookers right there taking pictures.
It makes complete sense.
Why? Like, what is going on? Why wouldn't they just drive?
Drive first, then talk about Mother's Little Helper.
Yeah, so there is when Candy admits that she's taking Cerex, a medication to help with her nerves. Don says, no more Cerex, Candy.
No more Cerex for you. Here's the thing. This is a really interesting interaction. She wants to maintain and control. She doesn't want to break down in front of the press. She doesn't want to break down in court. He wants her to. Fantastic. But when you put it of them arguing in a car surrounded by the press, it makes them both idiots, and they're not idiots.
Right.
Girl.
They're really not. They're not idiots at all. I mean, Don might be, but Candy certainly isn't.
He's not that kind of idiot.
Right.
I mean, his whole thing is the visuals, right? He's had her cut her hair. He's had her wear that crime against fashion cardigan. He's put her in the pussy bow railing blouse. And yet he does this. So he's an idiot, but he's not that kind of idiot is my thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this ever actually happened. Like, I don't know if there are pictures of the two of them in real life having an argument in his car, and therefore they had to like figure out
for our wrap up next week.
Yeah. But yeah, you would think because of optics that you wouldn't like just putting your briefcase in front of you does nothing when the car windows exist.
Car windows exist. Don.
Yeah.
There are press all around, 360 degrees.
Everywhere, just taking pictures to the point where they can barely take off in the car. But, you know, how about have this conversation any other time than now?
Any other time, any other place.
So back at home, Candy smokes outside while talking to Pat. And she says that Pat never told her about what he thought when Don told him everything that happened. Pat says he's just grateful that things didn't go the other way.
So he's all in on self-defense.
Yeah, he has. I think that, honestly, for Pat, he has to be.
He has to be.
Yeah.
Because he has to be.
Entertaining anything else just breaks his worldview. So he has to be all in. Mm. Even though IRL, didn't he end up leaving her?
Yes, he did.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah. Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see if any of that is covered or if they just put it up in language on the screen.
Lazy. I'm giving them a pre-lazy for an episode I haven't seen yet.
I would like a clip of you just saying lazy so that I can like play it in life situations.
Oh
my God. Heavy sigh. Okay.
Heavy sigh, but again, you know, we love this actor.
We do.
Pat, we read all sorts of things in into him, which, you know, he's making the most of what he's been given. He was done dirty in this episode, I think. But he managed to rise above the
yes
ish.
He's doing like a really flower. Good job, mm-hmm. like Patrick Fugit in this.
Oh yeah, can't show. Say enough about him.
Like yes. I didn't really know that he had this level of not level of acting, but just like level of here I am. Like I'm the most like bland man that you'll ever meet. But I feel my feelings and I feel them deeply. And it's just like this frenetic, like, anxiety underneath his normally calm exterior that mm-hmm. he's playing really, really well.
Well, he is because he has to live with this woman and raise the two children.
Yeah.
He has to lie beside an axe murderer every night. As you say, he has to believe it was self-defense.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, otherwise an axe murderer is like making his eggs and popovers and mm-hmm. like what else is he going to do with his life? And he's so kept away from everything, which yes. is interesting in terms of like gender roles. Mm-hmm. Because normally it would be the man telling the woman that like this is my business and you don't deserve to like know anything about this. But in this situation, it's Candy being very open about, you know, you're not allowed. This is a domain that is not for you. You just mm-hmm. need to like be there for the kids and that's it.
Well, it's also Don says, and I think again, it's optics.
Yeah.
He wants her to look small and isolated and not have this big, tall, strong, mild and bland, but sort right. of big, tall, strong man backing her.
Yeah.
I think I'm extrapolating somewhat.
No, I mean, please extrapolate. Candy says that she used to think that this was it, just a home and a family. But then people go looking for something that they don't fully understand, just something outside of what we're used to. And that's the most introspection from Candy that we get in this entire episode of television.
And this entire season. I did not understand this monologue. Please explain it to me.
So I think that what she means is like the grass is always greener, you know? Like mm-hmm. you think that, you know, Candy probably set out in life to just have a husband, a stable life, and have some kids, right? And then just when she thought that everything was perfect, she felt this gnawing kind of want for something new, something exciting, something that was out of the ordinary.
That's what crafting's for.
Well, she'd done enough crafting. And she was already in every activity that she could think of. So she went looking for it in terms of an affair.
I mean, that's one thing that this season, this series really has done is shown how busy these women are from morning till night. Mm-hmm. Like leaving aside murdering someone and covering up the murder, which is a lot of work, just on a day-to-day level, not just Candy, all these women are yeah. just so busy.
I know. Like, I think about my grandmother. I will never understand how this woman every day like made three meals a day for us until we got to the point where we wanted to buy our own lunch, because she would make us lunch every morning for like us, or the night before, for us to take to school. But she made breakfast, like hot breakfast. We never had cereal growing up. Mm-hmm. She made us lunch. It was always great. Or she would like bring us stuff from like a special occasion. She'd bring us like Burger King or something. Like she'd go out and like buy us something.
Wow.
And then she made dinner every freaking night, like with multiple side dishes and a great main course. And I and still managed to, you know, she didn't work, but like that is so
yes,
much
she
work.
Did. Plus the house, plus the washing,
plus the house. The,
folding, the
house was always
lining.
Spotless. Like we all, our laundry was always done. And she didn't have any money. I don't understand how she accomplished any of these things. So looking at these women and how busy they are and like how scheduled their lives are, I'm just like, how are you doing this?
Mm.
I would need Cerex.
Yes. Well, many of them, well, you know, this was absolutely the era of, I keep saying mother's little helper, but that's what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And from that busyness, the emptiness, I understand when we put it like that, but I don't think that monologue was it. I look at the stars and it's enough, and then it's not enough. Something, write that scene again. Thank you.
Lazy.
The next time I push play on this scene, on this episode, I want that scene to be written better.
All right. But still, that is the most introspection that we have ever seen from this character.
And the closest to an apology.
And the closest to an apology that she's given to Pat.
Yeah.
Pastor gives good soundbite.
Bad pastor, good soundbite.
Yeah. Terrible pastor, great soundbite. And at the behest of Don, he needs to be out there for Candy.
Yes.
Lobbying for her in the press, because Don can't do it.
Hmm.
The next day, the police officers testify and they recall the crime scene.
Don't tell me it's a montage.
They're gonna need a montage.
Mm-hmm.
Don tries to use the murder weapon, the scene, etc., to prove that there was no premeditation on Candy's part, and it's just a series of circumstances that led to the media saying this is no longer a case of who done it, but why done it. And my question for you is, do you think that this series gets to why done it?
No, not yet. And I don't think it will. I no longer have faith that it will get to why done it. I think because we don't know. And this is where, rather than saying this is a true story, they could have gone the Shonda Rhimes, Queen Charlotte version, which is, oh, this is like historical. It happened. But we're just going to say whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could have had the jurors. Then we could have had the why. Then we could have had more depth. I think there's, so look, one of the things that I've admired about the series is the presentation of surface, because it's all about what will people think. I mean, my mother always used to say, what will people think of me if you go out looking like that?
Oh.
So there's a whole surface. Things must be correct. Things must be right. The appearance must be kept up. We must go to this church. We must sing in the choir. We must. And I love that. I love that airlessness of surface presentation and how you could be struggling underneath that with desires that you don't even know how to name. But the problem with how successful they've been with that surface level is that for us as viewers, by the time now we're in episode 6, we've become frustrated because it's only surface, and we have to hungrily read into, you know, when the camera is just showing us Jesse Plemons' face, we hungrily read into it any depth we can find.
Mm-hmm.
When we watch Candy driving the car and it's just a close-up of her face, we hungrily look for depth. Certainly Betty was given no such grace to understand anything about her life.
No.
So I think that one of its stylistic and thematic ticks, you know, 10 out of 10s, this life of surface, this life of veneer, this life of what will people think, has done dirty then on the characters and our satisfaction with understanding our fellow human beings, which is why we watch dramas and it's why particularly we're drawn to true crime, I think, LaTanya, to understand our fellow human beings and ourselves in them. And I think we're being robbed of that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Wow. That was so eloquent.
Thank you. I didn't know I was going to say that.
That's when the best stuff comes out. So, however, self-defense does not explain 40 whacks with an axe.
Absolutely right. No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. The fact that this woman got acquitted.
I mean, the fact that they did... Oh. That's what's interesting, and that's what we're not being told, and unless something happens next episode,
yeah,
I fear we're not going to be told.
And I mean, it's the Lizzie Borden of it all. You know what I mean? Like, this Lizzie Borden happened so long ago, and that legend still lives on today. And there are still people telling that story, like Christina Ricci, like not 10 years ago, played her. There is like another more recent adaptation with Kristen Stewart, I believe. So like, you know, there are these stories of women that just go off and snap and like kill people with an axe, but they're so enigmatic and we never find out the why of any of it. And I think that makes for fascinating TV, but that's not what we're getting here.
Yes.
Candy is still clearly self-medicating.
She's being disobedient.
She's not listening to Don.
We know this because we have a point of view camera from behind her left ear, and the sound in the courtroom goes all wee 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 underwater. It's like, oh, thanks. She's on Sirius. Okay, got it. Got it. Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. I do think that Elizabeth Olsen is doing like a hilarious, like drugged out impersonation.
When she says, he's a nice man.
He's a nice going, man. What?
He's a nice man. The prosecutor
seems like a nice man.
He seems like a nice man. I thought, oh, divine. Chef's kiss. Mwah.
So good. I want more of High Candy.
Yeah. High Candy's fun candy.
She is. So now the pathologist takes the stand.
Oh, God.
Yeah. This is where we get a barrage of really gnarly crime scene photos.
Stylistically, completely out of whack with what the world that we have been immersed in, that we've trusted David to take us by the hand and take us through. These photographs do not belong in this world. I mean, they're very well done, but they are gruesome in a way that is, it's not more gruesome to show me that. You talk about 40 swings of the axe. He talks in a very cold way about the angles and the size and all of that. I have an imagination. I can bring that to mind.
Right.
You didn't make it more real for me. In fact, you made it less real for me. Strangely, these very realistic close-up black and white photographs made it less realistic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm squeamish. I don't generally want to see them, but I don't mind seeing them. But stylistically, they don't work. Let us have the jury being shown the photographs and their reaction. I don't need to see the photograph. Let me see them reacting. Let me use my imagination. It's going to be much worse than these startling photographs. What did you think?
I mean, I think that the way that the pathologist is explaining things and using my imagination, like he says that she doesn't have a face.
He says that the wound is a particular shape because the axe went so far into her cranium that it had to be wiggled backwards and forwards to be pulled out. That's a stunning, stunning description.
Yes.
That's all I needed.
That's all I need. And I'm not squeamish either. Like there are plenty of other shows that I watch that have crime scene photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, this fits tonally and stylistically with the show. This, yeah, however,
tonally is a better word, LaTanya. Yeah, but yes, tonally and stylistically.
Yeah, this didn't fit for me stylistically or tonally,
especially as they didn't show us the murder.
Right. It was a murder. I think that they kind of decided not to show us the murder because they knew that they were going to show these crime scene photographs, and they thought that that would make up for, you know, that would be more maybe tasteful than showing us the murder.
No, but seeing the murder itself gives us the humanity of it. Candy actually, you know, and we have tried to avoid comparisons as much as we can, although perhaps not very successfully. But in Candy, you see the physical toll that it takes on both the women. I mean,
yes,
Betty, obviously, but Betty is moving and alive and defending, and Candy, a small-framed woman, is swinging the axe and panting and sweating. You could almost see her sweating as well. That's what's interesting, not these cold photographs of the aftermath. Because what the cold photographs of the aftermath make us do is think about what made those wounds, so that the pathologist can just say it and we will think about what made. I mean, the idea of the axe being wiggled backwards and forwards so that it could be withdrawn and put into the head. Sorry, everybody, warning. That to me is stunning. Like, what that makes me think is far more horrendous than, you know, a photograph where you're going, oh, that's a really well-made, gruesome photograph.
Right, exactly.
Somehow, yeah.
Yeah. So
anyway,
the pathologist testifies that Betty was alive for most of the 40 swings. Another thing,
much more stunning.
She was alive for
39 of the 40 blows. Wild. And I'd forgotten it, but I remember it now from Candy. Like that again, hair standing up on your arm.
Yes. I don't need the pictures because my imagination can do so much more. And I think that this show leaves the wrong things up to the viewer's imagination.
Yes. Like, and is explicit in the wrong things as well.
Yeah. Like, you know, the murder, like, you know, again, to talk about Candy, the scene between Jessica Biel and Melanie Lynskey, where they actually do the murder, is one of the most, like, emotionally taxing scenes and physically taxing scenes that I think I've seen on television in a really long time. Like, you can just tell the work that these two women put in to make that performance happen, and the stunt, like the stunt work that they were doing, you know, and it was really intimate and really close. And so we really felt that we were a part of that fight almost. In this, I understand, like, not wanting to do that exact same thing, so not showing the murder, but I think our imaginations are enough to learn that she was alive for almost all of the 40 swings is just wild information that my mind begins to wander, like, and think of what she must have gone through. And it would have been great to see the reaction of the jury to this, or, you know, we saw a little bit of the reaction of Betty's father, but not very much. So Don seems a little bit overwhelmed by this testimony. This is one funny moment where the judge is like, defense, this is the time that you should start speaking. In case you didn't know, because you've never done this before, you idiot. But later, so Don is overwhelmed by this testimony, but later counters that Betty was likely not conscious during much of the attack. So that's something, I guess.
I know, it's like, oh, okay.
Furthermore, none of the findings of the pathologist rule out self-defense.
Yes, he does. He does rally and get the pathologist to admit, I suppose, those things, that he can't tell, that she most that she would have been unconscious for some of the blows, and that nothing rules out self-defense. So
right.
he's on track for what he's aiming for.
Yeah. He's setting up all of the circumstances to like bring it all together during his case and closing argument. So like I can see what the strategy is here.
I liked him being shaken by the testimony.
Mm. Okay.
They didn't need to underline it. They could have all been just shaken.
Yeah. So the prosecution rests, and it's time for Don to call his first witness. But since that witness is Candy, and she is clearly out of it, Don asked the judge if they could begin tomorrow. And then upon approach, the judge says that they have 10 minutes before Candy has to testify.
Fire up the coffee pot.
Seriously.
We'll bring on just a little snort of cocaine. She'll be okay. A little sniff.
Just a tiny bump.
A tiny bump on a tiny silver spoon.
That comes out of a cross.
Yes. It's very funny. In the very 80s or late 70s or maybe 1980 that this is set in, one of my godmothers
Oh no,
I still laugh when I think about it. One of my godmothers, and I must have been early 80s, not quite, because when I was in my rapscallion era, one of my godmothers, lovely woman, she gave me as a present something she called a charm. But as we know, charms have a little attachment where you attach it to the charm bracelet or whatever. Mm-hmm. She gave me a silver Coke spoon. She didn't know what it was.
Oh, my gosh.
And I knew straight away what it was. I thanked her very much for the silver charm. She thought it was a charm.
Who's to say it's not?
Who's to say it's not? And who's to say whether I used it or not?
Yeah,
I cannot say. Not you. I simply cannot say. But that's all she needs. She's on her smoother outer. She needs a wake her upper now.
Yeah, get the Adderall in there.
Get the yes, exactly, or a nice can of full strength Coca Cola.
Something. And then the episode ends with the judge saying, for some reason, ominously, TikTok. As we get
nonsense, bloody ludicrous.
Like, unless this is in the court transcript. Oh. I'm going to be really upset.
Piffle.
And then we
go, oh, this will be good.
We get a close-up of Candy's face, and she's making the exact same face that she's been making for the entirety of the time that we have seen her in court.
Boo.
And the episode ends, graciously.
Yes, this is, I think that, you know, I said this before, but I think that this is the poorest episode so far, episode 6, partly because it just is, you know, in and of itself poor, but also because with the extended runtime, the extended episode number, we were hoping for a really intriguing courtroom episode, plus on top of that David E. Kelly can give you an intriguing courtroom episode. And none of those things were fulfilled. I'm glad to close the book on this episode. What about you?
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to the testimony next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that they got like this initial court stuff over with, because maybe we'll get some fireworks next week. Like,
with luck.
I understand that you have to use the court transcripts if you are telling a story this way. But there are so many ways that you can work with perspective that could enhance it. This is just straight up what happened. Like, it's almost like watching a documentary, but it's not even interesting. Like, I remember the Staircase, for example, the documentary, the 18, like, 1,000 episode documentary.
So good.
So good. And it was a lot of courtroom stuff, but it was so great.
It's also like what you look at. So the camera is us. We had a lot of footage looking directly at the pathologist. We don't need to see him. He's not doing anything, but he's speaking. I mean, he's speaking, and his voice and the images that are arising from that voice. Let's not look at him. Let's look at the jury. Let's look at Betty's father.
Right.
Let's look at Candy. Let's look at the church ladies in the I was going to say audience in the courtroom. Like, you don't do so. If you have the pathologist speaking and you are filming the pathologist, you're only doing one thing. Mm-hmm. If you have him speaking and you look at a juror,
yeah,
even just pulling a tissue out of a sleeve or some, you know, anything, then literally you're doing two anything. Things. Then you're doing two things, and this is the layering and the depth that I have, we have mined for successfully in the last five episodes. And we're starting to think that maybe there isn't gold in them, they're hills.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still holding out hope.
Once she gets on the stand.
We're going to see some real Elizabeth Olsen. Like,
yeah, we're going to see a tour de force.
Yes. That's what I'm hoping for. Yes. But if they're just going to, if she's just going to be drugged up and they're just going to be like asking her to essentially mimic what was done, you know, actually in court, then I don't know. Like, she can't become too animated, right? Because they're after her to not be that person, mm-hmm, optically.
So, well, that's what she says. She can't show any
emotion,
passion or emotion, because that's what everybody's waiting for.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Did you order the code red? Ah, oh, code red is so nice. Code red. It's a very code nice code.
So nice. I bet he's so nice. Well,
okay.
We did it. So you should do it. You should consider becoming a post-show recaps patron. Get early access to podcasts as well as Patreon exclusive podcasts at any level. You get access to the Discord, which is where we talk all about this show and why it exists and how we're going to how we're going to make it to the next episode.
One to go.
Exactly. And we basically just like, it's the Discord is basically where I've just been convincing people to watch this show, mm-hmm, so that they could listen to this podcast. So thank you all for deciding to watch and listening, even if this episode was a little bit off for everyone, especially for us. Anyway, the Discord, join it. Also, merch is available at higher levels, and you can sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps or postshowrecaps.com/patreon.
And if you just want the merch, head to the store. postshowrecaps.com/store is your place to buy your post-show recaps merchandise, including t-shirts, mugs, hats, silver spoon charms, pans to make your scrambled eggs, pennies, and axes. But mostly the t-shirts.
Really? With the axes? All right. Sarah, please tell us what you have going on and where the people can find you.
People can follow me at Sarah Carradine on Twitter. And here on Post Show Recaps, I'm covering Queen Charlotte, a Bridgerton story, no axes, episode by episode, with Sasha Kirsten and Geneva. Heaving bosoms and bare bottoms, but no axes. You might find an axe at the other show that I co-host weekly. It's a true crime review podcast called Crime Scene, S-E-E-N, on reality TV wrap-ups with the great Mari Forth and our guests. And what about you, LaTanya?
Well, you can find me talking about Top Chef for a Hat. Ooh. It is season 20. All-Star Internationals and International All-Stars. And we are having a fun time. We just had a double episode for you. So we did Restaurant Wars and then we did the thali that everyone had to make. And yeah, we'll be coming at you with the most recent episode very soon. Me and Kurt and Haley are just doing it up and enjoying life. On the post-show recap side, you can find me talking about the final season of Barry. We discussed the penultimate episode of the final season of Barry today. And
wow,
have you been watching?
What an episode. Yes, I have.
Yeah. It is a wild episode that I cannot wait for people to see, because it sets up so many things that we just tried to speculate, like what could happen in the finale. And we don't know. We have no idea. So tune in for our rampant speculation with me and Mike Bloom. And then I'm podcasting, you know, me and Josh Wiggler are constantly on our BS, and we are podcasting about Succession versus Yellow Jackets. It is Eat or Be Eaten on both shows. And I just saw the most recent episode of Yellow Jackets. It is wild. The upcoming episode of Succession is Logan's funeral, so we can expect some real fireworks. Even the preview of that episode gave me goosebumps. So I'm excited for the next episode of Versus. I don't know about you all. So that's what I'm up to. You can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks, and you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222, where I swear I will have content for you after this weekend. I'm going to a wedding, and so there will be lots of pictures. All right. That then ends our coverage of this episode of Love and Death. Please send us your comments and questions and join us next week for the finale episode, because this was the penultimate episode. So for the finale episode, episode 7, until then, stay safe, everybody, and keep away from action. TikTok.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.